Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
It's a company called AgriStats. What is AgriStats?
Peter Navarro is Director of Trade and Manufacturing on a settlement with AgriStats.
Basically, what the companies in this concentrated industry were doing was individually sending in data on everything, consumers, production, everything in between. And what did that computer do? It spit back what the monopoly price should be.
Now, that proposed settlement in the antitrust case would force major changes in how the company collects, packages, and sells market information to the meat industry. The biggest step is that AgriStats would have to stop offering its sales report books central to the case. Now, the settlement would also ban several reporting features that critics said made the system too revealing. AgriStats would no longer be allowed to show participant lists, rankings, or flags, could only report individual company data in narrow situations, such as returning a contributor's own information back to that contributor. Now, the proposal also opens access more broadly. AgriStats has to make its reports and manuals available for purchase to anyone in the U.S., not just meat processors. And it could not discourage outside buyers by offering worse terms or higher prices. Farmers, rural business owners, and families who paid IRS late, estimated tax penalties, or interest during those COVID years may actually have some money waiting to be refunded, but the catch is they likely have to ask for it before the deadline passes. AARP is reporting the issue involving penalties and interest charged during the federal COVID disaster period that ran January 20th, 2020 through July 10th, 2023. National Taxpayer Advocate says millions of taxpayers could be affected, but the refunds do not arrive automatically. That means anyone who filed late, paid late, missed estimated tax payments, or was charged interest by the IRS during that period should review their old tax records. Farmers and self-employed rural taxpayers may want to pay close attention, as estimated tax rules often apply to their operations. First step, checking IRS account transcripts for 2020, 2021, 2022, and 2023. IRS still fighting the court ruling, but taxpayers will have to file a protective claim by July 10th. Dairy producers could see more school milk demand after USDA cleared the way for whole and 2% milk in several child nutrition programs. The rule gives schools and care providers more flexibility in the types of milk they can offer to children, two, and older. USDA's final rule expands fluid milk options in the National School Lunch Program, the School Breakfast Program, Child and Adult Care Food Program, and Special Milk Program. It follows the Whole Milk for Healthy Kids Act, which was signed into law earlier this year. And the interim rule takes effect June 7th. Public comments due July 7th. USDA says comments will help shape any future final rule changes. It's Agriculture Today.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688. There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
I get to sit at the intersection of our acquisition and development team, where we look to find localities for new data centers. We operate our data centers, and the policy and public affairs conversation that you and many of your listeners will be familiar with, where, you know, the conversation is how can we develop data centers responsibly to meet the increasing demand for data center services. And so it's a really fun job. It's a hard job these days, but some of the best part of it is being able to engage with local and state leaders and communities, and being able to see the benefits that our data centers can bring to local communities and municipal budgets and jobs. And so that stuff's really fun.
Liz Schwab is data center development lead for Google. On what her role is and what data centers do.
Yeah, it's really understandable why you know, the average American doesn't know what a data center does. Most folks have not had the chance to walk through one or even walk around one, but yet we depend on them every day. Right. When we're looking up directions on our phone, when we're storing photos or sending an email, when, you know, our small business or large business is storing data in the cloud, you know, are being able to have this conversation virtually from halfway across the country. All of these things rely on data centers. And what they are is basically a really high tech warehouse or engine room of the internet. Instead of storing physical goods on shelves, we have thousands of servers, or, you know, fancy computers, basically, that sit in rows and rows of super efficient, highly complex, networked, you know, cabling and computers, and they're highly secure facilities, as you might imagine. They store sensitive data from users and enterprises all over the world. But from the outside, they are somewhat boring looking, right? A high-tech warehouse, if you will.
With so many conversations around locations and siting for data centers, what is Google looking for?
One of the first things we're looking for is energy, right? So at Google, we prioritize access to clean energy. We have pretty aggressive clean energy goals. And so we want to be in a place where we can work with our utility and regulatory partners to bring on new clean electricity to the grid. We, of course, have other infrastructure needs that are just as critical. We need fiber. The data center needs to be connected, right? We need workforce. And we, of course, need a welcoming community. And as you sort of implied, these days that's as critical as ever. So we look to have conversations really early with counties and municipalities who are seeking this type of economic development, right? And who are thinking about how to maybe diversify their tax revenue and bring new high paying jobs to their locality. We really want to do this in partnership. And we're proud to have been doing that for the last 20 years across the world, really. And so I think, you know, that's one of my main messages for you and your listeners today, is that, you know, data centers can be developed responsibly in a way that lifts up communities, economies, and is a responsible user of our natural resources.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
This is Agriculture Today.
The effects and the impact of climate change are real.
Interesting exchange between Connecticut Representative Rosa DeLauro and the administrator of the EPA, Lee Zeldin, in an appropriation subcommittee hearing.
You probably did see the report on Antarctica and the glaciers and melting and all this. It was an extraordinary documentary over this past weekend. This is an administration that is hell-bent, in my view, on ignoring science. Just 2 weeks ago, you reportedly attended a climate deniers conference. And in your remarks, you said, quote, "For those who wanted to criticize my appearance here before this group, it really shows the desperation of just how many walls have collapsed of this last line of defense," end quote. In Connecticut, we have seen increasing heat waves, extreme precipitation, devastating floods, impacting everything, farming, school closures, damaging homes and businesses. Climate change is harming our health and our environment, but is also harming Americans financially. This administration, however, is running the playbook on making the problem worse, focusing on policies that are handouts to the fossil fuel companies, like reversing the 2009 greenhouse gas endangerment finding, rolling back fuel emission standards for motor vehicles, and reducing methane leak monitoring requirements. The budget proposal reads like a climate change deniers manifesto. When climate change is flooding our streets, poisoning our air, driving up health care and disaster costs, how can the EPA justify abandoning that duty to protect Americans to appease polluters under the false flag of economic growth?
Following the law, Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, where does it say anything about fighting global climate change? Loper Bright, Supreme Court case. You familiar with it?
No, I maybe others are. I'm not, but let me ask.
But that's really important. As a member of Congress, Loper Bright says that we as an agency don't have the authority to get creative. If Section 202 of the Clean Air Act.
No, but you don't have, excuse me, you do not have the right to say climate change does not exist, that it's a hoax, and that's where this administration is coming from.
I understand you're upset that you don't know what Loper Bright is. Do you know what the major policies doctrine is?
I'm upset because.
You know what the major policies doctrine is?
You know what, let me just.
You're a member of Congress. You should know.
Well, you have moved from someone who defended the environment to all of a sudden
being very defensive about not knowing the two biggest landmark Supreme Court cases of the last year with regards to your question.
You are very defensive about changing your policy and your positions with regard to the environment.
Okay.
Now, you just tell
me. You want
me
to tell you what the two biggest Supreme Court cases are of the last few years?
This is what I want you
Michigan
to tell me.
Michigan versus EPA.
Whoa.
West Virginia versus EPA.
You know, you're here because you need money from us. So halt for the second. And wait for the questions and answer the questions.
Well, I answered your question.
No, you didn't.
And you didn't like my answer because you don't know what Loper Bright is, because you don't know what the major policies doctrine is.
Chairman,
because you're asking me
questions.
You're asking me about Section 202 of the Clean Air Act, and you don't read it. You don't know what it says.
Listen, and what you want to do is to deny you want
to. No, I actually read the law. I do my homework.
Really?
You're just somebody who likes to have the microphone on. You know what I have to do? I read the law.
No,
I read
Chairman,
the Supreme Court cases.
I don't have to listen to this, and I would say
no.
This,
you, what you should do for your constituents is actually read statute.
This budget is at real risk.
Read
Let
your Supreme
you.
Court.
This is the Appropriations Committee.
Oh, you're,
you
you're
come
gonna,
here.
You care about
you
science? Now you're threatening to defund it?
Oh my God! No, you don't fund
because
science.
You don't know what Loper Bright is. Because
deniers.
You don't know what the major policies
you
doctrine
are
is. Your message
deniers.
To our folks at the EPA is that you want to defund us.
I don't have to listen to this BS.
The BS. You think I made up these cases?
Yeah, I think you have made up a whole
I made up Loper Bright. I made up West Virginia versus EPA. I made up Michigan versus EPA.
It's Agriculture Today.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts round here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
Ag News Now. Agriculture Today.
Are there going to be some concerns around just what production levels are going to be for the 26-27 crops?
Dr. Mark Welch is a Texas A&M AgriLife Extension grain marketing economist in College Station.
I wonder if the market's not dialing in some of that uncertainty given the strength we're seeing across the board. Because in corn in particular, it does look like the price, in my mind, has outrun the fundamentals. And so we're dialing in something else. Uncertainty, risk, projected impacts. Just trying to get a gauge or a handle on that. But certainly these are prices that, just looking back over the last, 6 weeks, 2 months, certainly would have, never thought that we would get these kind of levels.
He mentioned 2027. Is it really too early to start looking at next year's crop?
First of all, on the input cost side, If we were to resolve the conflict in the Middle East, very soon, in the very near time frame, it would appear to me that the damage that has been done to production facilities, to infrastructure, to transportation, is going to, cause just elevated costs, to continue to reverberate throughout the, energy and fertilizer sectors for a good period of time. That even if things kind of do try to get back to normal, what will it take to get all those facilities flowing and going again? Transportation cost, risk, insurance, freight rates, out of a world now that certainly appears to be more vulnerable, and less secure. And so how will that be priced in, to the movement of a wide range of commodities? And so I think if we're looking at, this price impact, for many producers in the U.S., hopefully you've got most of your fertilizer already booked or bought for 2026. But if we're looking to 2027, as we start to put those bookings in this late summer and fall, I think these prices are likely to still be with us. And then we then have a much better handle on what are the production prospects for 26. We made a wheat crop. What's the corn crop look like? And then what are the longer term implications and ramifications of this down the road for world production numbers? Prices stay high, fertilizer still available, though expensive. We're not likely to see that big production impact. Again, it could go another way as well. So, right. I think there's always concern of these locked in higher input costs. Then in most years, what we see is prices do decline as we head in toward harvest, and it puts that real squeeze on any kind of profit margin that we had some opportunities to do something about, and those market opportunities tend to get away from us. So I think it's certainly worth looking at what these opportunities are bringing to us now relative to your cost of production, the budget you're building for 2026, and not too early to start looking at maybe if you're looking at higher input costs for 2027, what does that, what are those contracts around harvest time for the 27 crop, say for wheat and for corn? How are those looking? Around $5 on corn, $7 on wheat, not bad places to be and start being aware of what these marketing opportunities may bring us. So I think widening our awareness of the risk, but also widening our awareness of the opportunities, perhaps to take some protection against what may yet unfold in all the uncertainty that we're dealing with now and likely to for the next several months.
It's Agriculture Today.
Manage your risk and take advantage of opportunities with StoneX. Utilizing StoneX's global presence to provide the best in market intelligence, a vast portfolio of risk management and marketing products, and a team of brokers who specialize in working with those in agriculture, StoneX provides the resources you need to make the best possible decisions. Learn more about the StoneX Advantage. Call Donna Hughes at 214-613-1688.
There's substantial risk to futures and options trading. Not all products are suitable for all producers.
Purple Wave Auction remains the trusted leader in online equipment auctions. What makes the difference is you. You are part of our growing global community that continues to trust Purple Wave with the equipment that builds and feeds America. This trust placed in us by our community, from construction to ag producers and fleet drivers, brings great equipment opportunities to their next owners. Join the Purple Wave community today. PurpleWave.com.
With Agriculture Today, here's Tony St. James.
First, we specialize in probate and estate litigation and estate and probate administration as well, and trust and fiduciary litigation.
Corey Kruger is managing partner with Hensley and Kruger. Talks about a storm that's brewing. It's a probate storm.
The probate storm generally is said to be what we're coming into is what is going to be America being in the middle of the largest intergenerational wealth transfer in history. Over $70 to $80 trillion with a T is expected to change hands in the next several decades. Combine that with more complex family structures, blended families, and quite frankly, inadequate planning, and you get to where we are right now, what they're calling the probate storm.
There are many tools. There's wills. There's trust. Is there a perfect approach, however?
The problem is there's not a perfect answer necessarily unless every heir is on the same page, which is quite frankly very rare. But yeah, I mean, you can put it in a trust and hope and want that these certain heirs, maybe it's your kids, maybe you have, call it three kids, and you want them all to own the property in trust. And well, that's great, but what if one of them is in a financial bind that they need, you know, they want to get bought out, and maybe another one of your kids is doing great financially and has the resources and wants to keep it going. So it's going to create conflict. The best way to deal with it is to plan for it through estate planning and also communication with your children or your heirs so that everyone is at least trying to get on the same page. Now, even that though, you know, situations and circumstances change down the line. Like I said, everyone could be fine and dandy when you sign these estate planning documents saying that it's going to go into trust. Well, what, you know, things change. Something happens. Maybe someone in your family gets sick, you know. It's a lot to think about, and quite frankly, it's a lot to deal with. The problem is that 65% of Americans don't even have a will. And so if you don't have any planning done, that just makes all these problems exponentially more difficult to deal with.
So how do you manage and navigate this storm if you can't afford an expert? Kruger says,
I would rather, if people aren't going to pay a competent lawyer to draft their will, I would rather them draft a holographic will, meaning in their own handwriting, signed and dated by themselves. They don't even need a witness for that. But that would be the better option than going online to do it, these do-it-yourself wills. I mean, I wish it was that easy. I wish that, you know, people could save a little bit more money. But we get these wills. The loved ones of someone who died come to us and show us this blank.com will they got online. 9 out of 10 times, that's not an exaggeration. 9 out of 10 times, there's a problem. There's something wrong with it. It wasn't done by the book, or if it was done by the book, the wishes weren't what they thought they were going to be. So, and that also leads to litigation. And that litigation's, you know, that's what I do for a living, but that's not good for anybody. That's not, well, I didn't become a lawyer to make money. I became a lawyer to help people, and I don't want to see people in litigation.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
This is Agriculture Today.
The Department of Commerce continues to work around the clock to implement President Trump's America First trade policy.
Testifying before a House subcommittee on appropriations, Commerce Secretary Howard Lutnick.
Under Section 232, the Commerce Department is taking action on steel, aluminum, copper, pharmaceuticals, autos, semiconductors, and investigating other sectors to protect, reshore, and revive manufacturing. These actions have led to multi-billion dollar commitments to reshore steel and aluminum manufacturing and restore American excellence in critical industries. In the first year of his second term, President Trump has dramatically reduced the trade deficit, lowering imports and increasing exports. Exports went to $3.4 trillion, which is a 6% increase from 2024. And in 2025, the trade deficit was the lowest we've seen in 16 years. I'm proud of the role I played in negotiating our most important trade agreement, including the largest deal ever done, which was our trade deal and investment deal with the European Union. BIS is working hand in hand with the Department of Health and Human Services. We've arranged historic agreements to lower drug prices for American consumers, negotiating most favored nation deals, and ensuring Americans pay the lowest prices for innovative medicines. As a result of these deals, additionally, we have secured over $400 billion in commitments to reshore pharmaceuticals and manufacturing in America, those key pharmaceuticals. The budget includes a $215 million increase to BIS above the 2026 enacted level, which supports the hiring of hundreds of new special agent law enforcement officials to address the theft of American technological leadership by bad actors. These officers are critical to protecting and defending America's innovation. In ITA, we are driving record foreign direct investment, cracking down on harmful foreign trade practices, and supporting our 1.3 million American jobs with export and investment deals. In 2025, ITA helped Boeing, Wabtec, and other major American companies secure a record $244 billion in contracts with foreign public buyers. This exceeds the $17 billion that the Biden administration did in its first year. The budget includes a $10 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for trade enforcement in ITA and $100 million for the United States Investment Accelerator. The budget slashes unnecessary wasteful spending at NIST and other groups and eliminates the manufacturing extension partnership, which I'm sure we will talk about. At the USPTO, we are rapidly modernizing and leveraging technology to cut classification prep dramatically. We want to get rid of the massive backlog that we had and do a much better job. And finally, we have launched a new era of modernization of NOAA, where we're in the process of transferring the agency's IT system from a decades-old hardwired technology to the modern distributed cloud. This update will improve our forecasting capabilities, transform the way our forecasters do their jobs, and will make Americans safer. The budget also includes a $135 million increase to the 2026 enacted level for NOAA shipbuilding and our improvement of unmanned systems programs. For far too long, our nation was mired in status quo, leaving American consumers and producers alike with unfair, poorly implemented trade deals, outsourced jobs, and paltry investments that failed to meet our country's potential. President Trump is committed to ushering in a golden age of domestic commerce and bringing jobs back to the United States, and that's exactly what he's done in his first 15 months of this administration. I look forward to working with you as the department continues to spur economic growth and secure unprecedented prosperity for the American people.
It's Agriculture Today.
Let's talk about logos. What's the value of a good mark? Well, when it comes to the seal of cotton, it's pretty big. Introduced in 1973, the seal of cotton trademark has planted itself in consumers' headspaces. In fact, 94% of consumers say the seal helps them easily identify cotton products. 85% say they associate the seal with softness, comfort, and durability. 40 years of cotton research and promotion really adds up. You grow the cotton? The Cotton Research Promotion Program helps grow the value. Learn more at cottonboard.org.
If you're going to succeed, you need cotton that's strong enough to perform around here where you grow. That's why Delta Pine cotton varieties are bred to meet the needs of your neck of the woods and are rigorously evaluated by local growers for maximum performance potential and consistency year after year. Strong cotton performance starts around here with locally tested Delta Pine cotton. Learn more at DeltaPine.com. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.